Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Phil.
And this is The Underground, the podcast for garden sector professionals and the official podcast partner of Glee 2024.
In this special collection of episodes, we'll be sharing over 20 interviews that we recorded live from our podcast booth at Glee this year, offering fresh insights from the innovators and trailblazers that keep the garden sector growing.
So, without further ado, let's get down and dirty.
In today's bumper three-part episode, we'll be hearing from Jenny Douthwaite from Prima and Scott Gammon from Pelsis. But first, we hope you enjoy our conversation with Ed Cantle, a channel sales manager at Gardena.
Hi, Ed.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for coming and joining us.
Thanks, guys.
So, Ed, why don't we start off with a really easy one? Why don't you just tell us a little bit about Gardena?
Okay, so Gardena is a very large gardening supplier for the Europe area.
Okay.
We supply a wide range. We've got nearly 600 SKUs within our range.
Goodness.
Right.
Most people know us for watering.
Yeah.
But we also sell some machinery. Okay. We also sell some cutting tools, cultivating tools.
All right.
So it's a wide range. We are part of the Husqvarna Group.
Right.
So there's three divisions within Husqvarna, and we are the middle channel, the middle division, with Flymo sitting underneath us as well.
Right.
Okay.
And is that quite a fairly new acquisition?
2007. But there's some age obviously to Husqvarna that goes back hundreds of years, has heritage in all sorts of different categories.
But so, many people nowadays know Husqvarna for the robot mowers,
for sure. Yeah, no,
chainsaws,
some,
I was thinking. But
No chainsaws. There's also a division in construction, which make demolition robots.
Oh, wow.
So diamond core drills, all sorts of things. So there's quite a wide range.
So you're mentioning about different garden products that Gardena make. Whereabouts are Gardena from then? You said it's a European brand.
Gardena is based in Germany, predominantly in a town called Ulm.
Right.
And we do the majority of our manufacturing within a sort of an hour location of Ulm. We have a few factories in other European countries. But the majority of factories are Gardena owned. And that allows us to keep a good eye on the quality and the design.
Right. Fantastic.
So, Ed, you have a background in horticulture. You studied at Perthshire College. So how did you become involved with the retail side of horticulture and ultimately Gardena?
So it's a little bit of a long story.
That's
but yeah, so I suppose I've been quite lucky in a way because I always had a bit of gardening in my blood.
Right.
Used to follow my grandfather around the garden and it led me to what I thought was sort of wanting to do sort of that outside at school. They thought I wanted to become a farmer and it was more agriculture because horticulture wasn't really named as a category.
Yeah.
But I did my A-levels, went to Perthshire College, did an honours degree in horticulture.
Right.
That actually took me in a direction of nursery stock production, so plants.
Okay.
I actually met my wife at Perthshire College.
Ah.
So she was studying HND in amenity and landscape. So she tells me she's the true gardener and I'm the grower. And that led me into my first nursery role as an assistant nursery manager up sort of near Liverpool, and then I went to a garden centre called Rivendell.
Yes.
Then I came down, an opportunity arrived for me to become an assistant buyer at Bridgemere.
Right.
I then went to Bridgemere 4 or 5 years. I then went to Webbs of Witchbold.
Yeah.
And then from that point in 2009, I jumped to the dark side of sales and had several years with Stuart Plastics. And I've done several different roles and positions within sort of garden manufacturing. And then I've been with Gardena for 5 years, well, in November.
Right.
So, a good spread.
Okay, so you mentioned there you've turned to the dark side of sales. You're the channel sales manager. What on earth is a channel sales manager?
So my true title is channel sales manager, garden centres and independent retailers.
Okay.
So we split the Gardena team. We're quite a small team in the UK.
Okay.
But we've got three defined kind of channels, an online, a mass merchants and the garden centre and independents. And I'm that middle one, so to speak. So I head up a team of sales reps and sales agents that service selection of garden centres and retailers. And yeah, just keeps the definition between the retailers.
Right. So you don't actually go out to see the customers anymore?
I do. I quite enjoy that side of things. So I do a fair amount of mileage. Mm-hmm. I think from my retail days and being the other side of the desk, mm-hmm. I do quite enjoy that customer interaction.
Right.
You learn a lot from talking about products and mm-hmm. different ways to merchandise. Yes, it's nice to get the feedback from the guys on a phone call and so on, but actually going in with a meeting and supporting the guys. But I like the hands-on side as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So going back to Gardein and what it does and what it's known for, which is hoses,
yeah,
watering. We live in a country with a fairly high rainfall, especially this summer. Mm-hmm. Generally water is becoming scarcer as mm-hmm. a resource. So how does Gardein tackle this with some of the new products?
It's a difficult one. Trying to sell sort of hose pipes in the rain is a tricky one. but it's looking at different ways. It's going back to basics of you get the best results by delivering the right amount of water at the right time.
Yeah.
If you get that rosy tomato in a greenhouse, less stress. So it's looking at ways to capture the water. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to do more from a recycling point of view.
That's good.
So that might be water butts with our new range of water butt pumps and that side of things to move water around the garden. Ultimately, there's also the element of micro drip. And a lot of people kind of think, well, it rains an awful lot. We all think we're really good waterers, which we're not.
No,
we tend to sit, wave around with a hose and it trickles down from the leaves. You need to get the water to the roots.
Yeah.
And so there's some education that's kind of needed around that side of things, but that's where our micro drip range is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a gap, the right measured amount of water. Water's becoming more expensive
mm-hmm.
and there are certain sort of areas where in giving it some focus, you can just get much better results from mm-hmm. that point.
I'm going to add on to this. Peat-free compost obviously is a real big thing. Are you finding that you're developing products that work specifically well with peat-free? Because we've been finding, as a gardener myself, mm-hmm. you totally having to change the way you water.
I mean, I guess the micro drip system that you were referring to is...
Yeah. It's basically sort of delivering, so you can dependent on the crop and how greedy it is and what it needs from a requirement point of view, mm-hmm. whether the water is running through the substrate faster through peat-free as opposed to it would do with peat that might hold it longer.
Yeah,
and things like the micro drip, you've got the flexibility because you can go for 2 litre, 4 litre. You can get it right to each plant that is required. Mm-hmm. We can deal with that sort of container side issue. But you can use micro drip and drip irrigation. You know, if you've just bought a lovely new hedge or a specimen tree, most people don't really think much about the watering. You spend several hundred pounds put in some drip hose, look after it, sink some soaker hose sort of round and in with it to get the water to the roots.
Yeah.
Right. So there's all these different, because again, if you can get the plants to establish better, then they will grow better.
Absolutely.
Yeah, fascinating. You mentioned right early on when you're talking about the different products that you got in the water, mm-hmm. new solutions that you've got, you're talking about pumps that go into water butts to move the water around the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying that you can actually put the pump in and move it to another water butt, or are you... pump just to use a hose?
Different situations. So we have some mains and we also have some battery options. So the battery options are quite good for allotmenteers who might not have mains and you just want to move. So you might have a larger tank or a selection of water butts off the sheds and greenhouses mm-hmm. to move the water around. I actually have 6 water butts at home, the bottom 3 aren't that accessible.
Right.
So I can use the water butt pump to move the water to the ones where I can put a watering can under, or I can use it to feed my greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a comes out piece of hose down the side of the greenhouse into soaker hose, and you can just turn it on. So you go to walk down the garden, turn it on for 5-10 minutes, and it does its business.
Fantastic.
It's a good way
of
using that water that might otherwise just run off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had no idea that existed. That's amazing. I mean, you're developing these products. So is it Gardena that actually develops these products? Have you got an R&D department?
It is, again, all based in Germany.
Yep.
So each product, you can go to a shelf and you can pick a selected product. It'll go back to a certain product manager or a product group, a business unit. Gardena are very good at looking at a problem and looking for a solution. As opposed to something that's just perhaps picked up off the shelf. Mm-hmm. So when you look at things like, say, for example, the water butt pumps or one of our other tunes, other items. So we've got our Aqua Bloom, which is a solar powered standalone pump and irrigation system.
Okay.
So it's something where, again, somebody hasn't got mains power, but perhaps they've only got a smaller balcony or a selection of plants.
Yep.
It's a little solar panel that charges from the sun, and you can set it to certain times and flows, and it feeds water through the system into those plants.
Okay.
It's looking at solutions realistically, mm-hmm. because we want to create a product that people can work with and that they are going to utilize. So it's the ergonomics of the secateurs. Majority of our cutting ranges have 25-year warranty.
Oh, right.
So
that's
they're
really
tested
good.
And tested yeah. and tested to make sure that they will test the time.
Yeah. So, I mean, so with regards to that, so we've talked about the hose pipes and that sort of thing. You're talking about cutting tools. Mm-hmm. So is that a full range of tools that you've got, or is it primarily?
No. I mean, it's a full range of watering. It's a full range of digging spades and forks.
Okay.
And then through the cutting, Gardena is well known for its cutting ranges, mm-hmm. its lopper ranges, the secateurs. But also some innovation within there. We've got micro cutting. We've got little sips that hold. So if you go out to cut sweet peas, they've got a blade device that basically holds the flower instead of
like
falling away.
Yeah.
So grip cuts, little things like that that just make life a bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're overbalanced with a pair of scissors trying to cut things at the back of the
yes.
board and you fall over. There's some nice, one of our nice new additions this year is our Star Cup, which is a majority of accidents that happen in gardens is where people overstretch on ladders.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
you want yep. to ideally try and keep 2 feet on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So our Star Cut allows you to do that, to allows you to basically extend and work and cut at height. So there's just issues working them back to say, okay, how can we produce a good line from that? So I've already started to be introduced to some 26 new products.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously here we're releasing our 25. So the
right.
guys are always working. And we've got ranges that are fine, but they take to the next level and rework.
So why don't we ask you about that now? Have you actually announced some new products here at Glee?
We have. Yeah, no, we've got just over 50 new lines.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at all the different derivatives. The most exciting one for us is our dual hose reel, which is an enclosed
okay.
reel. Most people will be, they'll know a reel or a trolley.
Yep.
Sometimes they're not the most attractive things to look at. The hose
yep.
doesn't go on properly mm-hmm. and so on.
Yep.
The enclosed reel is neat and tidy. It's 25 meters of hose. It self-loads, so it self-loads the drum as you turn the handle. There's little things like the handle folds back in. So it's neat and tidy.
Okay.
And is it quite easy to roll back up? Because
yeah.
somebody like me, that's one thing I always struggle with, rolling that hose.
The technology basically works very similar to our auto reels where you pull them out and it pulls back in,
mm-hmm.
but that loads the drum. And it's that efficiency. It's trying to make life easier.
Yeah.
That's one of the things we're really quite excited all the way to our extreme where we've got a top-end sprinkler, which is Bluetooth enabled.
Oof.
It's solar powered.
Like that.
It works and will basically adapt to the contours and the shape of your lawn.
Okay.
You're then talking sort of up into the hundreds of pounds retails. But if you are contemplating pop-up sprinklers, digging holes, trenching and so on.
Yeah.
This is a solution that goes in the middle of your lawn, but it shows the technology as opposed to a standard oscillating sprinkler that you might just sort of use on a day-to-day basis. So it's the different scales.
So you're not a stranger to Glee.
Nope.
Would that be right?
Nope.
So how long have you been coming? And
I did my first Glee in 2001.
Oh, so quite a while.
So a few years ago.
And
yes.
have you been coming every year since then?
Apart from the sort of COVID years, I think I've done every single one from that point. I can still sort of remember my first Glee.
Oh.
I was a young buyer at the time. I think I can say I was young. And I got tasked with following a gentleman because I was at a garden centre that was part of the Tillington Group.
Right.
And I got tasked to follow somebody around. And this gentleman, well, he was a smaller gentleman, but he could almost walk and as he did, he ran.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was an interesting sort of baptism into Glee. But I've known it through the gala dinners mm-hmm. and the sort of earlier days and obviously the transitions that
yeah.
it's come through to sort of what we see as it is now. Yes.
Has it changed a lot in this moment? Celebrating his 50-year anniversary.
Yeah, I think it's still a good concentration place for people to come together from a trade perspective. I mean, where else are you going to find so many different suppliers under one roof?
Absolutely.
You know, from a buyer side, as I say, being both sides of the desk, I know an awful lot of people within the trade, and it's nice. It's nice to spend time with the team, and then it's also nice to see other suppliers, retailers, and yeah, you know, there's still some newness coming through as well, which is really refreshing.
Mm. So what is it about Glee, or you know, that you're attracted to for exhibiting your products? You know, is it the retailers coming to see you that's
I think you've got a good central location. So obviously, logistically wise, that's key.
Yeah.
We've got colleagues that have come in from Germany. They fly in and you can walk over the concourse. So it's very straightforward from that point of view. Hotel wise, are well serviced. But yeah, it's a combination, I think, realistically. It's nice to have a platform to demonstrate our new products on, for people to get hands on, because trying to sometimes sell out of a catalogue is fine, but actually people getting hands on with product and explaining to them, they also give feedback. And something that we might not have thought about. Oh, if you did this, we've had conversations this morning and somebody said, oh, what about a display stand? How are we going to display it? So we've gone back and we bring marketing back into the conversation. And so, it produces, follow-up conversations as well, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fascinating. So you've got, you're here at Glee, you're a sales chap here at Glee.
Yep.
So you're obviously going to be really busy on your stand. Have you had any chance to have a look around?
I've had a bit of a wander, but I do need to have a little bit more of a walk up and down, because again, you never know what you might see on other stands.
Absolutely.
And grab some sort of inspiration. And from a trade point, having been in the industry for so many years, I tend to bump into various different people in different areas and stands, and that's quite nice as well. With my GEMA hat on, I need to spend some time on the GEMA stand as well. I think it's important to have that. And I encourage my guys from a sales point of view to have a half an hour wander around and have a look, because it's different eyes and it's different experiences as well.
Absolutely. So you mentioned about GEMA there.
Yep.
Why don't we ask you a little bit about that? So you're involved in GEMA.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the council, I believe.
I am indeed.
Yeah. So what does that involve, and why is that important, do you think?
So when I first moved over into sales, a colleague of mine was on the GEMA Council.
Okay.
So we're talking a few years ago, and I had some involvement, but it's always sort of been there sort of in the background. Mm-hmm. When I moved to Gardena, we are given encouragement to sort of spread our wings a little from that point. And I had a bit of extra time, which felt was right to then apply to come onto the GEMA Council, and got voted on, which is great.
That's nice.
And it's a great selection of individuals, and we all come together. Yeah, there's some competitors on there and different people from different sort of areas, but there's some really good experience and different mindsets that when we do come together, it's for the better good, really, of the industry and trying to bring on. So I do something. We're all encouraged to be GEMA buddies.
Yeah.
So I have a few companies here that I've supported with my knowledge of who to talk to here or who to look at there, from be it buyers or looking at, should I go to this show? What's your experience of that?
Right.
To give that little bit of guidance. And that's really one strength of GEMA, because there's a lot of experience within. And we are constantly sort of looking to see how we can assist realistically.
Yeah. So it's sort of a mentorship that you're doing.
In a way, and it's as I say, it's a really good cross section that sort of come through. But it's not just the sales size; it could be from a show's point of view. Obviously, we have things like the GEMA Awards later in the year, so we're talking about product innovation and so on. So again, supporting the industry, we've been doing a Buyer Connect here through today, where you've almost got a bit of speed dating going on, which is quite nice because again, buyers' time is restricted.
Yeah.
If they're only coming for a day, possibly 2 days. Then actually people coming to them might solve an issue quickly.
Absolutely.
And give a snapshot to say, actually, I might need to go and spend more time with them.
Especially for some of those smaller companies, mm-hmm. you know, who can't command for a buyer to come to their stand. You know, they're not that. Then they haven't got that pull.
No.
They can take part in something like the Buyer Connect.
Exactly.
And they've got the eyes of the buyer on them.
Get the product right under their nose and engage. And, you know, a lot of selling is about relationships and communication. Yeah. And this industry is quite a tight industry.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, a lot of people know a lot of different people. It's a friendly industry. Generally very positive, even when it does rain an awful lot. and, yeah, it is nice to be able to then, from my point of view, to be able to sort of give some of that back, to be able to support and hopefully then develop, you know, some further business.
Can I just ask about the GEMA Awards? Because mm-hmm. you're on the council, mm-hmm. does that stop you as Gardena putting a new product forward, or is that not an issue?
No, we did put a few. In fact, we put... seven or eight, I think, through this year. So we've gambled away. But no, I think it's open to everybody from that point. And then we have things like a judging day where some of us might not be as involved as others that have put material forward. It's something that I would encourage people to have a look at, because again, any opportunity, like with the Glee New Product Awards here, it's just getting product in front of people who unfortunately might just walk past your stand, but mm-hmm. if you've got that secondary opportunity just to get that little bit of snapshot, it's all beneficial.
Yeah, fantastic.
I've got another question, if that's all right. You have a horticultural background.
Uh-huh.
I've worked and met a lot of salespeople who have no idea about the industry. Mm-hmm. How important do you think it is that you've had that background, that you can understand what you're doing, or does it not really matter when it comes to sales?
I don't want to upset anybody but I'm reasonably... All of my sales team are garden centre background.
Right, okay.
From my point of view, I think it is... It's quite a small industry, and the number of times that, I know him or I know her, mm-hmm. I went to Pershaw, and so on. It sort of comes through, and I think people do kind of reflect to that.
Yeah.
I've unfortunately in my buying days, I've had people come to me and they're only interested in how many pallets can I sell.
Yeah.
And, you know, I might have been a little mean with them and started asking them questions about MPK and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
But you need to know.
You do.
You need to know that you're selling a product for a solution. Yeah. And that it's got a home, that it's not just about the quick run, sort of sell and run. And I think that's, to me, that is quite important. And we've developed, as I say, our team, we're all, even through the other channels, are from a garden centre background.
Right, yeah.
So we've got that experience of both sides of the fence and a good network as well.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that you can't come in from selling cars to selling sort of secateurs.
Yeah.
But I think you need to have, you get measured on that passion of what it's being used for and how it's going to sell and where does it fit within the range.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know some of the other suppliers and you know how it sort of fit, it just, I personally think that helps. Yeah. That tends to be what I look for.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. I think, because what you're saying is you're not just selling boxes, you actually understand about how to solve a problem.
I think so. And I think that's because, at the end of the day as well, we're all consumers and we all go as customers to garden centres and people are looking for, and, be it slug pellets or be it secateurs or launches or whatever it might well be. Yes, we spend time on knowing that our team is passionate about that. They can then train the staff at shop floor level as well and hopefully then pass that passion on to the end user as well. So, they've got to be invested from that point.
Yeah. Ed, listen, you know we've been wanting to get you onto the podcast for a little while, so I'm so glad we managed to make it work.
That's great.
Thank you so much for giving up your time. I know it's a busy time today.
Busy old day. Yeah.
So thank you. And good luck with the rest of the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Now for our interview with Jenny Douthwaite from, I'll hand over to myself to introduce her. I'm here with Jenny Douthwaite, the MD of here we go. First question, how on earth do you pronounce the company name?
You're not the only one, Phil, that does this. And we never get offended. But the company name is pronounced Prima.
Prima?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Jenny, thank you very much for joining us this morning. And we'll dive right in, okay?
Yep.
Perhaps you could just tell us a little bit about Prima and what you do.
Sure. So as a business, we supply, our garden customers will know us best for our recycled rubber garden landscaping and pot containers. Actually, Prima as a business was formed over 50 years ago.
All right.
And during that time, we've supplied a real multitude of products. Mm-hmm. But our heritage and our bread and butter is a doormat category.
Okay.
We've been in doormats for many, many years, and it's actually one of the ranges we've brought to Glee for the first time this year.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
So whereabouts do you get your rubber from? If it's recycled rubber, is it tyres?
It is tyres, yeah. So everything we make in our garden range, it's made from differing raw materials, which are all recycled. The main one is rubber, and this is predominantly from tyres. So tyres are a huge problem in landfill, massive. They're either burnt generally or they're buried, and that's not a good environmental story. The real benefit of rubber as a product, when it's crumbed down and all the metal is removed from it, it can make some fabulous product innovations, as we've found. And they have a real multitude of features and benefits, which are just excellent for both the retailer and the consumer. The main point being they're completely unbreakable, really. If you think of a tyre and what that goes through in its lifetime and the pressure we put them through on vehicles, the products have really, really good durability features.
Right. Okay. That makes perfect sense. Yeah. So let's find out a little bit more about you. How did you get involved in Prima, and what's your background?
So I joined Prima 21 years ago.
Ah, right. Okay.
Yeah. I left university and I applied for my first job, which was at Prima in the sales team. And I was a sales support coordinator. So I helped with the administration of the orders, looked after the customers from their daily sort of administration needs. I've loved the company ever since the day I joined.
Right.
It's a fabulous. We're now into our third generation of family in the business.
Okay.
Our current chairman, James, his uncle started the business over 50 years ago.
Right.
And now two of my fellow directors are James's two children. So we're into our third generation, which is a real accomplishment we're proud of.
Yeah. So what sort of changes have you seen over the years?
I think doormats, particularly our product categories, have evolved massively. So products changed enormously within that period of time. Where we source from has, evolved over the years. But one thing that's never changed about Prima is our family ethos. And we're very person-focused business.
Okay.
Many of our staff have wonderful tenures, just like I do. We had a lovely chap who retired from our warehouse last week, who'd been in the business for 43 years.
Wow.
So I think that's a real proud point for us. We feel it's a real accomplishment to have people that are happy, enjoy working for us, and they bring the best to us, which is we're so grateful to our employee base.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a real testament to you as employers, to be able to retain staff because they're not looking elsewhere, you're looking after them, obviously, which is great to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're talking about doormats was where you sort of started.
Yeah.
And now you've been innovating, coming up with new products and things for the garden as well.
Yep.
So have you got like an R&D department? Who does the innovation?
So it's a real mix. I mean, we have my fellow director, Becky, she heads up our buying department and we do extensive trips within our supply base. Prima as a business doesn't manufacture product as such.
Okay.
We source product and develop with our supply bases.
Right.
Most of our suppliers we've had in existence for many decades, probably the longest standing one, over four decades of supply with them. So they're really long, trusted relationships, and we work on lots of R&D and innovation projects to bring MPD that's really tailored to us, that we know is right for our customers, and that we know there's an appetite for in the retail market.
Right. So how do you get that customer reaction? What sort of things do you get up to find what the customers are looking for?
Well, we have a design team who spend a lot of time looking at what trends are already in the market.
Okay.
So I suppose a lot of that focus is around what is the customer wanting from our product, but also aesthetically, our product in the home and the garden is really important to be aesthetically pleasing to their own homes. So we spend a lot of time on that. We often pass that back to our supply base, who have the skill set with the manufacturing capability.
Okay.
We share all those ideas, and we some of our MPD is a disaster. I'm sure everybody's in the same position.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it doesn't work out as
people
you think.
Don't like talking about it, but it is reality, isn't it?
It is reality, yes. And I'm sure there's many people at Glee over the years who've launched new products thinking they would be successful,
mm-hmm.
and they don't necessarily hit the market in the way you expect them to.
Yeah.
I think the key thing from that is going back and learning the lessons from that,
mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, if it's not right for the customer, it's not going to be right for the retailer.
Right.
And we have to tailor that appropriately.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are here at Glee.
Yes.
Okay. How are you finding the show so far? It's the last day.
Yep. Glee's been wonderful for us this year.
Yeah.
I think moving the Dateline back to September was mm-hmm. 100% the right thing.
Okay.
Ultimately, all as an exhibitor that we want from Glee is that it's the right show, the right time, and the customers are coming and they're in the position to be able to talk positively
yeah.
about future business and the future seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel this Glee's really delivered that. It's felt really positive.
Okay.
The footfall's been really good. The quality of the visits to the stand from the customer base has been fantastic.
Yeah.
It's definitely exceeded our expectations.
Yeah, had some new conversations going on.
Absolutely, and that's really important. We love seeing our existing customer base. It's really great to touch base with them and to talk about, you know, the year that they've had and, mm-hmm. and where we move forward. But any business needs new customers to thrive.
Yeah.
And absolutely, that's, you know, we'd like to introduce always an element of new customer into the Glee profile.
Yeah, brilliant. And talking about newness, have you actually sort of brought any new products that you're announcing at Glee this year?
Yep. So we did enter the new products at Glee.
Okay.
We were shortlisted for two of the categories.
Oh, congratulations on
Thank
that.
Thank you. Yeah, it was really good. Although it's always a nerve-wracking point standing on the stage with Trevor and pitching your products.
Having to do
the
your Dragon's Den pitch.
Yeah. The questions are generally the hardest bit at the end. You know your pitch, you know your product, but then when somebody springs a question on you, it's always a bit...
completely random.
Yeah, exactly.
A bit like this, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we brought two new ranges.
Okay.
So we obviously launched the Mighty Mac brand, and what we entered as a new product was... a sustainable collection. So it's really important to us that the ethos we've carried all the way through the garden range is also got a home within our doormat range. So we brought some doormats that are entirely made from recycled materials front and back, but offer the customer really great benefits in the usage. And we also brought some new planters this year, and we brought a lovely 5-tier stacking planter that's great for trailing plants and strawberries and herbs and etc.
Okay.
Yeah, sadly we didn't win any of the categories, but I think the new product as a concept is a really great way to get your new innovations out in front of the buyers here.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, the new products is one of the first places they go to.
Yes.
To have a look and see what's around, what's new, because it's those new things that, you know, they want to get those into their garden centres and stores and that sort of thing, isn't it?
They do, and it's really important. Their customers are looking for newness and to be inspired, and it's our job to be able to give them the ammunition to do that in their own retail environments.
Mm. So you're saying about one of the new products that you're bringing to market now is a mat which is recycled front and back.
That's right.
So what I was going to ask you was about, so when you were telling me, oh, you know, we use recycled sort of rubber, so I can imagine that as the back.
That's right.
And has that always been the case, and you've had other components attached to it, or have you had a whole rubber mat? I mean, I honestly don't know. I've got no idea.
So one of the items is an entirely rubber mat. So it's molded in, it's a very traditional sort of rubber mat with holes in it. So it's
okay.
A good scraper for outside
know
the home.
Sort of thing. Yeah.
But then other mats have rubber backs, and then they have the pile on the top is made from either recycled polypropylene, so plastic bottles,
okay.
etc.
Oh, okay.
or sometimes polyesters. But all of the yarns are recycled so that it's helping to move the waste cycle through. I think there's a tremendous amount of waste in our worlds, and the more we can do with recycled fibres is really great. We're trying some ways with lots of our products to sort of complete that circular journey as well. So what can happen to them at the end of their life?
Yeah.
I think that's also a really important message when it comes to sustainability, because lots of us are now making products that mm-hmm. are effectively sustainable and green, and they're made with recycled materials. But what happens to them when, what happens to those products at the end of their life? Do they still become landfill?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And while we're talking about sustainability, I heard you talking at the GEMA conference about sustainability. And I understand that sustainability is really sort of embedded in the business. So can you tell us a little bit about the sort of things that you get up to, you know, with that sustainability hat on?
Yeah, of course. We're going through our net zero journey at the moment.
Okay.
And I think it's hugely important. I think a lot of businesses have seen it as quite a regulatory element that has been enforced on lots of our sectors. You've got to have the full mind and the full ethos behind it, because if it just becomes a tick box exercise, sustainability is very hard to deliver.
Absolutely.
It has to become ingrained in your business, and it has to be an ethos that's driven all the way through. We're also encouraging all of our supply base to follow this ethos, because it's fine to be an ethical and sustainable UK business, but if you are manufacturing outside of that scope, it's really important that message is going all the way back down the supply chain.
Right.
So we've lots of innovations ongoing at the minute as part of our net zero plan, and you know, we'll continue with those. I think they'll forever keep evolving, because the world of sustainability is.
Yep.
And it's pretty much a full-time job for somebody in our business right now to keep a handle on that. Mm-hmm. So
can you give me some examples of the sorts of things that you're doing as a business?
So, you know, the obvious things that lots of businesses are doing from a head office point of view, moving lots of the lighting solutions to more energy efficient.
Okay.
We've explored solar as a point from the factory side, but also many of our partners across the world are looking at that.
Right.
We have one particular supplier in Europe who pretty much is self-sufficient from a solar point of view, and also putting back into their community from that perspective. Again, something that's really, we're really proud of within the supply base. We use all the usual things like the electric trucks within the warehouse. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a continuous search for the product side of things to be more green in our thinking with packaging, with point of sale material. You know, at the end of the day, these end up in landfill through the consumer route at the end of the product purchase cycle. And it's really important to us that our solutions can be recycled and that they're not, you know, they're not harming the environment or ultimately ending up in landfill.
Yeah, that's really interesting. We were talking, not here at Glee, but on a previous podcast with a printer, actually.
Okay.
A print is traditionally quite a bad industry for their carbon footprint and chemicals and all sorts of nasty things. And they are a green printers. They are like tremendous.
Yeah.
And they looked at their carbon footprint and they were going, well, actually, we're doing right, but we have no idea about our suppliers.
Yeah.
And then they had to go on that journey, and they were like going across Europe, going to see different people, and their suppliers going, what do you mean? We've got to start measuring things. And you know, it became a real passion point for them. And you know, it's tremendous to hear that you're also going through that journey as well.
Oh, it is a minefield. It's a complete minefield. And I think it's really good that lots of the areas of the business, because we all start and think about the product itself, but the packaging is hugely important.
Yep.
There's obviously lots of advances in the packaging reporting side now, which have hit us all. And I think that's, whilst it's a hard process to go through, and it's a lot of work for a business, ultimately it's a great thing for the industry, because it will make us all refocus on using the sustainable sources.
Yep.
We ensure that all of our packaging is FSC. Our customers demand it, and I think that's a good thing.
I think so.
That's the way the world has to go.
Yeah, no, brilliant. Okay, so what are the opportunities that you've got now that you're really excited about for the business?
So this year particularly, everybody's had the same sort of experience of the garden industry in the last year. And I think at Prima, what we're doing is going back to basics. We want our customers to be able to carry on selling our products in a really strong way from a volume point of view. And I think we're concentrating with our customers this year on what have become their best sellers. Are they still the best sellers they were? And making sure that we're really focusing on those. I think we're all guilty over the years of making sure that we've got as many SKUs into a customer as possible.
Yeah.
And I think in the current climate, where it matters to have the right products on the floor at the right time, that's the opportunity we're focusing on with our consumers and our customers at the moment.
Yeah. So we're at Glee. It's like been really manic. I'm sure you saying how good it was. Have you had a chance to have a look around the show?
I've had a few sneaky little wanders off the stand now and then. The first 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, I didn't really get off the stand much. Right. But today I've had a little nosy around and tried to get down into the Jima village a bit and see what's down there. So, excellent. Yeah.
Has anything caught your eye?
I think there's loads of really great products and suppliers here at the show. There always is. Mm-hmm. I think I particularly enjoy, I love being inspired by the big suppliers and their stands, right, and the concepts that they're bringing and the look that they're doing. But mm-hmm. I also really like having a look at the smaller suppliers and seeing the really bespoke, unique products, often yeah. that are, you know, individual entrepreneurs making yeah. these innovations themselves. I think they're really great. And when I put my Jima hat on, I always like to see what they're doing, how they're working, what you know, how they're advancing in the business, because mm-hmm. it is a tough industry.
Yeah.
Retail is tricky right now. It's hard, and I think we're only going to survive and thrive in this industry if we all work together in a non-competing way, but yeah. collaborate as best we can to make the experience the best for the consumer, because ultimately that's what makes the till ring.
Yeah. So you're talking about Jima there. I know you're quite heavily involved in Jima.
Yeah.
What was your role there? Have you just handed over, or are you just about to hand over?
So I'm a council member.
Yeah.
And Prima as a business is a member of Jima.
Right.
As an organisation. I was lucky enough to join the council back in 2017.
Right.
And it's a fabulous experience. Jima have been absolutely pivotal in helping us get to the position we are in the industry okay. today.
So what sort of help do they provide for you?
Every member's experience is really different.
Okay.
It's actually a conversation piece we're going through with within the council at the moment about engagement of members and yep. what they gain from the membership. As a trade association, they're fantastic. For me, the biggest benefit we got was the support, really. The support okay. that they enabled us to be able to engage with the customer base that mm-hmm. we'd actually never, although we've been a business working with major retailers for many decades, we'd never really worked in the independent sector. And it's hugely different. There's very different learnings to be taken, and there's very different ways of working that are important to that sector. Jima really helped us navigate that, and we're okay. so grateful to that. Vicky particularly, and
right.
and Colin in the past, who's now retired yeah. but was one of our membership ambassadors. Mm-hmm. And we want to try and reach out to the membership to see what do you need from Jima? What
right.
what are we doing today that is great, but mm-hmm. equally what are we not doing that you need from okay. us? So Tony Kersey's recently become alongside at Jima right. with Vicky, and that's a big part of his role, to try and engage with the members, understand what they're looking for, how we move forward, and ultimately how we support them to be the best that they can possibly be.
So we had Ed Cantle on the podcast, I think it was yesterday, honestly, yeah. I can't remember what day it was. I think it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And he was saying about the mentoring scheme that you operate within Jima.
Yeah.
And sort of the council members get assigned people to. So yeah. are you involved in that as well?
Yeah. So when I was president, mm-hmm. I stepped down from president this year, but I had two years as president of Jima, which was okay. utterly fabulous. And as part of my tenure there as president, that was an initiative that we brought in,
okay.
The buddy scheme. And it was predominantly born out of my experience of Jima, where
brilliant.
I felt like I'd really had that. I'd had a mentor in the industry. I'd had somebody that I could reach out to and understand, you know, complexities that I wasn't really understanding at that point in time. So we've offered that scheme to, predominantly it gets offered to new members who join, which was my experience. But
right.
but ultimately it's open to anybody. If people are, you know, reach out to the association and ask for that support, it absolutely will be given.
Oh, that's really good to hear. Yeah. Well, I think that just about wraps things up. I think what a great place to end.
Oh, thank
you,
Phil.
So much, Jenny, for coming to see us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
All the best with the rest of the show.
Thank you, Thank you.
And finally, a conversation with Scott Gammon, the general manager at Pelsis. Morning, Scott.
Morning, Scott.
Morning.
Thanks for coming to see us.
No, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, it's great to see you. Listen, can you just give us a quick overview of Pelsis and what they do as a business?
Yeah, so we are a leading manufacturer and distributor of pest control products.
Right.
We're global, so okay. we have 16 sites and 700 employees. We work across multiple channels. So right. we work across the agri market. We're in the retail sector.
Right.
So amateur market. And we're also in the professional pest control sector as well.
Right. So right. big business.
Yep.
Very
absolutely.
Big business.
Absolutely.
So pest control isn't always seen as the glamorous side of the yep. garden sector. So what would you say to detractors of the discipline?
I mean, to be fair, the team tend to bring a lot of glamour to the to the sector. We've got some products that do offer some sort of glamour around yeah. sort okay. of decorative fly units, so right. Insect light traps that will trap
oh,
the flies.
Yeah.
So
yes.
some of them are decorative.
Okay.
We've also got a decorative sort of fruit fly trap that looks a bit like an apple. So I've bought one here for you to
yeah,
have a look at.
So there's brought up some packaging. Do you want to describe that, Kate?
Yeah. So I'm looking at. It's called. It's Green Protect the brand,
yep,
and it's
absolutely.
A fruit fly trap. Now, we all know about fruit flies, how pesky they can be, especially if you've got a slightly old banana,
yep.
And they are a real pain to kind of do anything with. So, yeah, this is an apple, and I imagine you just take off
the tab,
and then it has a ingredient that attracts.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
then... They kind of, then that's it.
Perfect. You've used
flies.
One before.
No, and actually it does look really nice. So, yeah.
But that's
pretty
us,
packaging too.
That's just bringing some glamour. But in all honesty, you know, pest control is more of a necessity.
Yeah.
You know, so people tend to use the products when they've got a problem. They
yeah.
need to have confidence in the product. So
yeah.
it needs to be quite a serious thing because,
yeah.
you know, obviously there's public health issues that can happen. There's, you know, damage to the home and all that type
mm-hmm.
of stuff. So for us, yes, we can and do bring some glamour, but in all honesty, there's a serious element to pest control and just making sure that, you know, the end user has confidence
yeah.
in the product that we've got.
That
so,
it's gonna work, yeah.
so there has to be a serious element to it. Unfortunately.
No. As you said, it's people want results, don't they?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's Tuesday morning at the first day of Glee. So
yep.
I'm not going to ask you what you've seen or anything like that because,
no.
you know, you
that's
won't have
early.
A chance to have a look around. But what are you most looking forward to seeing at the show?
To be honest, it's my first time at Glee.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really looking forward to sort of walking around, understanding the show a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, sort of bringing in the atmosphere and seeing what's around with the team. But I haven't managed that, like you say, because it's so early on the first day. I haven't managed
yeah.
to have a full look round. I've been with the team, but I've got some meetings planned with some suppliers,
okay.
which
great.
I'm really looking forward
mm-hmm.
to. I've got some meetings planned with some customers
mm-hmm.
as well, which is really, really good. And I do love a show. I've got to
right.
be honest. I do love a show. So I've done a few of the professional pest shows,
right.
And to be honest, I really love the meeting new people piece. I know that's a bit cliche,
absolutely.
But I think there's so many opportunities when you're at the show
yeah.
To, you know, meet new people, get some opportunities for not just for Pelsis, but also for new suppliers, new customers, etc. So yeah, the meeting new people piece. I do like to talk, I've got to be honest.
Okay.
I'm quite well known for liking to talk.
Yeah, what's the time now, Phil?
How long have we got? But no, so for me, it is about meeting new people and sort of, yeah,
okay.
trying to sort of soak in the atmosphere of the show.
Lovely.
Excellent.
So you've already told us about the fruit fly trap. Are there any innovations that Pelsis are bringing to the show this year?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got the Pest Stop Reflector Bird. And that is it detracts
pest stop reflector bird.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. So basically it's a mirrored design.
Okay.
Spinner, if
yeah,
you like.
Yeah.
And you fix it to your wall or you fix it to your shed or you fix it to a ledge and the wind powers it and
okay.
it detracts birds birds away from.
So is this something that has been in the agricultural side but you're bringing to the consumer market more?
No, not massively. I mean, for us, we've got it over in the States.
Right.
And it's sold really, really well over in the States. It's had
yeah.
some really good results.
Right.
And so for us, and that was in the consumer market, so that was in the retail sector. So,
okay.
And so for us, it was, it made absolute perfect sense to
yeah.
sort of bring that success, you know,
yeah.
over to the UK as well.
So for people who have problems with kind of pigeons and crows and eating their crops or whatever,
yeah.
so the smaller gardener, that will work, will it?
Perfect for
excellent.
It, absolutely perfect for it. And it's quite a decorative unit as well. So I probably
okay.
should have mentioned that in the glamour piece. So yeah, for us, it's a nice product, it's a good product, it's an effective product, and it's a product that, you know, detracts as opposed to control. So when
yeah.
you know, so people can make sure that they're not harming the environment and not harming the bird. It's just attracting
keeping them away.
Absolutely, yeah.
Anything else?
So we've got the Pest Stop Crawling Insect Free Spray. That's actually been nominated for an award, which is good. And that is a free spray. So it's a non-toxic free spray. And you can use that on spiders, on crawling insects, on bed bugs, on cockroaches, and that type of stuff. So we've got that. And then in our DOF range, we've got a green fingers slug and snail barrier.
Okay, so this is a barrier,
is a barrier again. Right. So it's not it won't harm the slug. It just the slug doesn't like it. It's quite dry.
Yeah. Okay.
So when the slug goes to go over it, it doesn't quite like it.
Brilliant.
And I'm sure there's a much better technical perspective on it than I've just given from the technical team that they could provide.
No, we like it. It's dry, and they don't like to climb over it. That's perfect.
Exactly that. And then we've got a few other little bits and pieces like pre-baited mouse and rat traps and other bits and pieces. So I think the thing with one of the things that Pelsys try and do is try and make sure we're constantly innovative and we're constantly bringing new products, but not just control products, but also products that can sort of make sure that they are pushing the pests away as opposed to actually controlling them.
Okay, so many gardeners like the idea of living with nature, but the reality is if they get a persistent pest problem, they want to deal with it. They want it dealt with. So, do you have other products within your portfolio that deal with pests in a kind of kind and humane way, apart from what you've already mentioned?
So to be fair, we've got the bird spikes. So I know I've mentioned Reflector Bird, but we've also got bird spikes. We've got the trip trap. So the mouse will go in, and the doors will close, and then you can go.
So
and
humane.
Take them next door.
Exactly that, yeah. We've got citronella coils. And so, yeah, so we've got a fair few. We've got the indoor repellers, the plug-in and the batch powered. We've got those as well. So we've got plenty there that helps disperse.
Yeah.
And I'm using the word control. I've probably used the wrong word, right? But, sort of dispatch isn't exactly the nicest
word. No. So, I think control is good.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah. So the difference between sort of dispatch and disperse. So we've got plenty of products out there that can disperse as opposed to control is the word that we'll use.
So, I mean, you mentioned then it seemed like quite a number of products there which were quite sustainable.
So
have you seen a drive within the garden sector to be more sustainable, and that's affecting the products that you're bringing to market?
Yes and no is what I would say. The end user absolutely wants to go more sustainable. There's a big pull from suppliers and from customers to have more of a sustainable range. Mm-hmm. So we're absolutely seeing that. What I would say is, whilst people do want to go more sustainable, they still want rid of the pest.
That's absolutely right.
The bit we have to probably as an industry do a little bit better is push the efficacy of some of the products and make sure, because sometimes with a sustainable product, people can question the efficacy.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, if there's a chemical on there and it looks like then it's going to get rid of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas with a sustainable product, it all feels a little bit nicer.
Yes.
And so will it be as effective?
Yeah.
So absolutely there's pull through from customers, there's suppliers pushing, and end users absolutely want to have more of a sustainable range.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely seeing that.
But they want it to work.
Exactly. And so in terms of uptake, sometimes that can be a little bit slower. Mm-hmm. And I think as an industry, we could and should do absolutely a bit more to sort of push the efficacy of the products and stuff like that.
So. And I think it's quite hard when there are other companies who just bring out a product that has, because with a lot of the more natural products, you don't need to go through all the rigorous testing that bigger companies do. And that kind of puts people off using a really good natural product.
Absolutely.
And I think you see the same thing actually in weed killing as well.
Yeah.
The more natural products might not be quite so effective sometimes. As Kate said, that people can bring products out to market which haven't been rigorously tested.
Yeah.
Don't always work. But I think it's just so important to talk about it, because I know the RHS, love your slug and all that kind of thing. But the bottom line is, if you've got a small garden and you're growing flowers and fruit and veg that you love, you don't want to see them all destroyed.
No.
And if you can do it in as safe and as kind of natural way as possible, then great. But you've also got to remember, gardeners, they garden because they want to grow things that they can have. So we do like to kind of push this part of gardening under the table a bit. So I think it's really good we're talking to you. It really is.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Anyway, I'll shush.
We're here at Glee, which is obviously the garden event of the year. And I know that your products get sold in multiple locations, not just garden centres. But let's specifically talk about garden centres for a moment. So pest control is an important part of the business within the garden centre.
Absolutely.
So what support do you give the garden centres in terms of training on your products?
Yeah, I mean, so I touched on them earlier, our technical team. So our technical team do training for the garden centre. So for a lot of our customers, they'll do training on the products and how they work and where they should be used and when to use them and all that type of thing. So we offer a lot of training out to the garden centres, out to all customers, but specifically garden centres because of the question. And then, you know, we're in multiple different press releases. So, you know, everything from sort of the Daily Mail to local presses, the Birmingham Mail and stuff like that. So, you know, we're in a lot of different where we're offering advice on how to control pests, how to make sure that you don't attract pests and all that type of stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, so there's a range of things that we do and we can do. YouTube videos and all sorts of bits and pieces.
So,
so basically you have a big R&D department, is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, are they global or based in the UK? Or
so they're global.
They are global.
Yeah, so absolutely they're global. And, you know, and similar with what I was saying there about the reflector bird, we pull on some of the global experience as well. Especially with things like climate change and other bits and pieces and the way the weather's changing, you know, we can pull on some of the experience they've got in some different countries and what they're finding, and then obviously make it relevant to the UK market as well. So so they're a global team, and the experience we've got in the team's fantastic. There's a couple of them here as well, just for the more absolutely just for the more technical questions and stuff. So
yeah. Fantastic. Well, we know you've only just got here, really, Scott. So I can't ask you what you've enjoyed most about Glee so far. But is there anything you're looking forward to seeing? Anything that you got kind of ticked on your brochure, as it were?
I was looking forward to doing this.
That's the right thing to say. You can come back again.
No, do you know what? Genuinely, like I said earlier, it's about meeting potential new customers, potential new suppliers. And so until I do get around, you know, it's a difficult one to answer, in fairness. Okay. But for me, it's genuinely, I want to try and make sure I meet as many new customers as possible and existing customers. There'll be people that, you know, I've met and I hadn't planned to meet here.
Yeah.
That you'll bump into,
yeah.
And that's great. That's really, really, really nice. Someone you can share a coffee with and stuff like that.
And just between us, obviously, do you quite enjoy seeing what your competitors are up to? Is it a good place to kind of spy out what other people are doing?
No, of course not. No, look, of course you did go and have a little bit of a nose around the stand, and you go and have a wander. But yeah, to be fair, we try and focus. You know, what do our customers want to see?
Yeah.
And we really try and focus on that. But I must admit, I will go and have a nose
absolutely.
At some point.
So you mentioned that earlier on, you were talking about the fact that Pelsis is actually also connected with DOF.
Yep.
So can you just tell us a little bit about that and, you know, how that's going and, you know,
how long that has been the case as well?
Yeah, so we only did the acquisition a matter of weeks ago.
Oh, gosh, so that new.
So it's very new, and the team have done brilliantly in bringing the brands together in time for Glee.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, you know, it just made sense. It was an acquisition. You know, there's so much synergy between the two businesses. And then from a UK perspective, it offered us a bit more in the way of garden product as opposed to just pest control.
Right.
So it offered us a bit more in the way of that and around, you know, slugs and weed killers and other bits and pieces.
And they're known brands, aren't they? They're known and trusted.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I'm not just saying this, but the team are fantastic. The knowledge that they've got, the experience they've got over there is great. And to your point, that helps build the brand because when people are talking to them and that type of thing, you know, there's a confidence there with the DOF product.
Yeah.
And so, the acquisition absolutely made sense.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Been a good acquisition. And like I say, we've it's only new and it's only early. It's only a few weeks old. But really excited for the work that's coming over the next few months. So
wonderful.
Really excited.
Great. So I've got one final question for you, Scott. And honestly, there's no pressure, but do you enjoy gardening?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Really?
No, I genuinely do. There's something quite nice about being able to shut the kids inside and go outside for some peace and quiet.
That's not how it's supposed to work. Okay.
I genuinely do. I've got to be honest, I'm not much of a planter.
That's okay.
But I do love a power tool.
A
hedge trimmer is right up my street. I've got a hedge out the front and one at the back, and there's something quite nice about when you pull up onto the drive, you know, it's all nice and neat, right angle there. Not that I can do a good enough at right angle on it. Maybe hopefully somebody here will be able to help me. Hedge trimming is my thing, and using some sort of power tool is good.
Okay.
But planting. I don't know if I have the patience for that.
One day you'll get into it. I do find that people, when they get into the industry from totally diverse background, they get sucked in. Even Phil now has become a bit of a gardener. So you will get the bug, I promise you.
Fantastic. Brilliant.
Well, I think that just about wraps it up for today, actually, Scott. So thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciated it. It's been fascinating.
Our first guest.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thank you for having me.
What do you think to the setup?
I love it. I absolutely love it. And getting to see people come and have a look and have a nose is really, really good.
I heard Dermot Gavin walk past and I had to kind of oh my goodness, yeah. It's Dermot Gavin.
But no, I really like it. So thank you.
Brilliant.
Thank you. Great. Yeah, well, enjoy
so
the rest of the show.
I really wish you all the best for Glee this year. Hope it all works out.
Thanks very much.
Cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, could I ask a small favour? Please take the time to review the show and share us with your colleagues. It really does make a difference and will help others to find us too. To keep up to date with the latest happening from the underground, sign up to our email newsletter at theunderground.fm. I'm Kate Turner, the Gardener Guru. I'm a horticulturist, garden consultant and presenter. To find out more, check out my website at gardenerguru.co.uk.
And I'm Phil Wright, founding partner of Wright O'Barra, a creative marketing agency specialising in the home and garden sectors. And for anyone bringing a new product to market, we've created a handy 7-step guide to help take your product marketing from zero to hero. Find out more at wrightobarra.com.